Telling you it's the 4th today.
I almost wore my red pants too, but.
Tell me.
Got to confess it.
Welcome to our class. We're talking about foundations of our faith. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But I've asked Nathan if he would lead us in a word of prayer. I always like to start every class with a prayer because I think that gets us started on the right thought pattern. I'm going to ask Nate if he would do that.
Yeah. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for another day, thankful for another opportunity that we can come together and light faith and study your word. Help us to think on these things, think on the foundations to which our faith has been built. Help us to use this as an opportunity to not question our faith, but better understand why we believe what we believe. Help us to understand or try to understand the power of your love, the power of our influence, the power of our love in a crazy, crazy world that we live in now. Help us to be lights that shine and are examples of Christ, just like he was many, many, many years ago, and how he positively influenced everyone that he was around. Thankful for Gary as he leads our thoughts today. We're thankful for everyone that's in attendance in this class and the sacrifice and the time that everyone's chosen to make today to be here to study and worship you. For yes, when we fall short, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You know what? I'm glad he was thankful for you guys. Because I'm going to tell you my worst nightmare. Years ago, I had just come to Bowling Green and I was... Well, I'm going to tell you two nightmare stories. The first one is, I was slated to teach a class with two others. One of them was a deacon and one of them was an elder, and I was a brand new college grad. We go in the class, we sit down, no students show up. None. But this church had 14, 15, 16 different topics, and apparently ours wasn't the most popular, or we as teachers weren't the most popular. Let me tell you, that's embarrassing. So we met for two class periods and decided, well, this is kind of silly. So we there was one we really wanted to go to, so we all went to it. So I am thankful you're here.
You should have brought snacks.
I should have.
Snacks for it.
Man. No snacks in here, by the way. But the second class, the second teaching I'm going to tell you about, happened the very first time I ever taught. And I was at the old 12th Street. If any of you guys have ever been to that old building, it was one of those long auditoriums to where you just barely could make out who's on the back seat. And it was packed. And again, young college grad wanting to teach, they paired me up with a deacon and an elder, and we're teaching the book of Daniel. So I get a call from the deacon. He says, look, I'm going to be out of town Sunday, but you know, the elder's got this. Great. So I get a call on Sunday morning. I'm sick. You got to take the class. So what? I'm going to be teaching Daniel, and I've got the first class. I had 8 pages front and back of notes. They were gone in 7 minutes. Class lasted 45. That's not much fun. So I learned real fast. This is your class. Yeah, we got 3 teachers. It's not our class. This is your class. And when I say that, I want you guys to feel comfortable enough to ask questions, throw in comments. And I'll tell you, it will happen sometime during this class. I'm going to pass out Wednesday night. I do have a guide sheet that tells you every class what we're going to study. We are kind of following a book, but the way I decided I wanted to do it, and Matt and Nate were gracious enough to let me go this route, Matt came up with this book, and I think it exactly was what I had in mind. It really was. But I didn't want to go strictly by the book. So what we decided to do was this. The book is kind of going to be a little bit of a guide, and each teacher, as they teach a lesson, for instance, I've got a class on authority in God's Word. I will use this book that we've got as my general outline, but then I've got the freedom, I'll have handouts for you on that, and we'll more go by that than we will by just handing you a book. So you're not going to get a book for this class. We're going to make it up as we go, and it's going to be good. I thought today we'd do something just a little different. I'm looking at you guys, and yeah, I know some of you, your faces, but I don't know all of you guys. And I want to get to know who you are, but I want to start by getting to know who we are. And so each of us three teachers are going to tell you just a little bit about us. And then I want each of you, if you feel comfortable doing that, to tell us something about you. And I'm going to start by telling you, I'm Gary with two R's. That's weird, I know. But I've got a twin brother, and that's the other thing I want you to know. Nate always hears me tell this, and I'm bored him to death with it. My twin brother's name, Larry. Mom and Dad didn't know they were having twins. He popped out first, so he got the name. They had to come up with something on the fly. So they came up with Gary with two R's. I've hated it ever since. Well, it's not that I hate it. It's kind of cool when you're an adult. But when you're this tall and you're in Gatlinburg and you want to find a keychain with your name on it, good luck. You know, Mom and Dad bought one, too, with Larry on it and changed the L to a G. That don't get it. So I do. I've got a twin brother. Now, this is what Nate hears me say all the time. It's depressing having a twin brother for lots of reasons. If he looks just like me.
That's true.
Yes.
He's a little better.
So if you guys see me, some of you actually know my twin brother. If you see him around town, I know Reuben has done this before, but if you see us around town, if you see one of us and we don't speak, that's my twin brother. But the depressing part is, he's 7 minutes older than I am. In 7 minutes, I'm going to look that bad. That's depressing. But the cool thing about having a twin brother and the bad thing about having a twin brother, when that twin brother does something great, you know, that's kind of what I would look like if I did something great. If he does something stupid, oh, man, you just kind of want to crawl under a rock. I am married. I've been married for years. Long time. Oh, longer than most of you, longer than all of you have been alive. I have one daughter, Reagan. Lots of you know Reagan. Reagan went to Florida College after 12 years of telling us, I'm not going to Florida College. Reagan went to Florida College and never came back. So, true story, we packed up a U-Haul to go get her. I was wondering, why are we taking some things in that U-Haul? We get there, she says, I'm not moving back to Boulder. I want Florida to be my home. So I've got a daughter living in Temple Terrace. She loves it. And that's kind of my story. Here's the other thing I want you to tell me when we come around. I was baptized at the age of 11. So when we come around to you, I want you to tell me, not only where you're from, how'd you get here, tell me, what age were you baptized? Matt, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. So, disclaimer, I'm not from Kentucky originally. I'm actually from Alabama, Roll Tide. Somebody was talking about sports earlier. So my wife and I actually moved here because of my job. I'm a physician at the Medical Center of Bowling Green. I'm actually doing a start in cardiology, so I'll be starting as a cardiology fellow in the next couple of days. We're still in orientation, but My background, I grew up in the church my entire life. My dad is actually ministering in the church as well as his normal job. So I'm very familiar with growing up in the church and with things being the religion of my parents, which was another reason why we kind of wanted to talk about the class. You know, give you a stronger foundation than just being the religion of your parents. I am married. I've been married now for 5 years, since June 25th. Alicia and I just got back from Disney, so we had a really good time at that point. My background, other than just being in medicine, I have an undergrad degree in professional health biology with a double major in physical chemistry. My master's is in molecular biology. I have my doctorate and then internal medicine and now cardiology. I tell you that not because of the educational part of it, but by the people that I'm surrounded by when I have conversations. So that can be very, not detrimental, but very unusual if you try to bring up something that's religious, right? Because you have people that are in cellular biology or people that are in phylogenetics on how things are related on a molecular level. They're going to look at you with a little bit of doubt on their face that what you're saying is actually true, and you might actually get that, well, this person is a little silly, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, those types of things are very common in when I've been growing up, so I can give you a little bit better insight from that side. The other thing I will say is that when I teach scripture and when I teach Bible class, I've been doing that for a long time. I've been blessed to be a youth minister at two different congregations and teach classes. I usually do it in a way that's a little bit of a hybrid. I give you evidence of things not seen from the scientific standpoint, showing that religion is true through science. So I think that's a really cool aspect that a lot of people don't get, because one thing we do a very poor job at is building your faith. We give you a very good scriptural knowledge, and you can probably tell me book, chapter, and verse for certain things, but whenever you get out there in the real world, you may or may not, and I say this in all loving kindness, it's happened to me at least 4 or 5 times, that somebody says, I'm not sure, entire life growing up in the church, I'm not sure if I truly believe in God. And I mean, you have to think about that. They've spent their entire life growing up in the church, from a little baby, going out into college, and then they're telling me, I don't know if there's really a God. Where do we go wrong with that? So I think the hybrid approach, you know, proving religion through science is really important. I have a study class that usually is faith through a microscope, so I think that's pretty cool. But when I teach, you'll notice that mine's a little bit different than the traditional model of just using the Bible. I'll bring in other things, and it'll be kind of a hybrid approach. So that's me.
At what age were you baptized?
I was baptized at 13.
13.
Yep. And I cried like a baby.
I did too. And I cried when my daughter was baptized. And I cried when some of you were baptized. You just didn't know it. Hey.
Awesome. Guys, I'm so happy to be back here with y'all. I love teaching. I love being with the young people, because obviously, like, you know, it's the future of the church, right? And it's a tremendous amount of responsibility that you guys carry on your shoulders as well as us. Like I mentioned in my prayer, like, you watch the news this morning, it's just craziness all over the place. And to think about, like, how I've got to raise my kids, how you guys are going to raise your kids, and what you've got to do, and how you've got to represent and be godly and do it in a manner where you can bring souls to Christ. It's tough. It's tougher than it's ever been. So I'm excited to be here with you guys. I want to know, the way that I teach is a lot of open discussion, because I want to know, like, what you guys are seeing, like, what you're going through right now, because I'm kind of like Matt. Like, we're all in different worlds. Gary's in his world. Matt's in his. I'm in mine. Mine and Matt's world probably blend very closely together. I spend a lot of time in the hospital. So I have an undergrad degree in healthcare administration, master's in healthcare administration, and then a PhD in philosophy from Alabama, Roll Tide. So got to understand a little bit of the university's perspective, right, of religion as well. So, you know, I spent 10 years in the OR as an orthopedic rep doing total joint replacements. And Matt will tell you, and I will tell you, being in the operating room is a tough, tough, tough environment. And quite frankly, once you think about it, the personalities that exist in an OR, you have to be okay with cutting people open and watching them bleed. And that is a very disturbing perspective. Like, you have to be okay with that, and it requires, you know, a lot of different perspectives and mindsets, and you got to decompress a lot and walk out. And sometimes when you're in the OR, the way the conversations go, I mean, there's just really, it's crazy. So, you know, I think growing up, you think about, like, what's your ideal career? Like, what do you want to do? Well, do you want to make money? Do you want to have influence? Do you want to be a leader of people? Like, there's all these things, and it's great to have goals and understand what that entails, but it's also important to understand what career you choose and how it can influence you. And you hear me say that word a lot, and that's probably from my dad, because it was just ingrained. And sometimes I've done good with that in my life, and sometimes I've done bad. And you gotta acknowledge that. So, like Matt, like, I love the idea of open discussion. I love the idea of scripture, and that's what's important, right? Scripture is the basis to which our faith is built on. But there's also an importance of understanding the reality that we live in. And how do you blend that? How do you sit down with a friend, with a physician, or someone else who may think completely different than you, and have a conversation where it's not, I'm right, you're wrong, right? Yeah. How many times has that ever worked? And so we're going to get there with this class. We're going to talk about some interesting topics, and we're going to talk about how do you have this conversation? How do you have this conversation in a way where you can be open and they can be open and create a mindset where together you can lead someone in the right way? So I say all that because it was fresh. Not that it's more important than this, but my wife is Rachel. I have two little boys, Barry and Bodie. And we've been married 7 years now, and I was baptized when I was 13 as well. So, I'm so excited about this class and what we're going to talk about. I hope we do a good job of creating an environment where you guys want to talk, because that's what it is. It's going to be a lot of discussion.
Yeah, I do want this to be like that. And I mean, you guys have two brains here that you can pick, that not only do they believe, they believe, or they wouldn't be here, but they believe and they've seen the world, the other side of the curtain, people that from a biological, anatomical, any kind of, it's kind of like Matt said, their whole can't be, this thing of faith can't be right. And that's what they're facing every single day. I'm a little different. I'm a hearing specialist. I deal with old people. Kind of cool. I had a 94-year-old lady in the other day, and I knew she just went to an assisted living facility, and I said, hey, how do you like it there? Because, you know, you've got all kinds of people around you. She looked at me and she said, there's nothing but a bunch of old people there. And she's 94. I say that because 100 years ago, I'm convinced the church did a much better job of building our young people's foundations of faith than we have in the last 30 years. And I'm going to give you some very personal examples from my life to show you that. But it's still your class. That's what we want. And there'll be a night. I can't tell you when, but there's going to be a night. We're going to come in. We've got all this stuff we want to talk about. We're not even going to get to it. That's what I want. Because you've got things going on in your life. I want to know, what is it? How can we help? You've got some brains here. If I had known both of them were Alabama people, I own a pair of Auburn socks. I would have worn my Auburn socks today.
They teach from the hallway.
They will make an appearance before this class is over.
Let me ask a question real fast. How many of you went to church camp, like Florida College church camp at some point in your life? Show hands, big hands if you did. All right, so most of the class. Are those like some of your best days? They were mine. Went to Camp Tennessee. We always push the envelope, see like how much we can actually get away with before actually getting in trouble, like just kind of in trouble. Let me throw something at you. Bring this real. So at Camp Tennessee, out of a group of 10 of my closest friends, all of us being strong in faith, all of our parents being strong in faith, so this is like in that high school age, right? High school kind of starting to go into college. Out of those 10 closest friends, I started thinking about this the other day, 8 of them, 80% of them, don't go to church anymore. 80%. And I'm talking about, these are the people that, you know, you're sitting around the campfire with, like, you have some of those closest moments, or so I did at camp, like, where you feel the closest to God, and you're standing there, like, you have these great conversations, devos, it's all day long, you put your phones away, like this is real. And then from that point to today, they've lost their faith. What's happened? What's happened? I don't know. I think I know. But like, what we want to do in this class is, if somebody's in this room and you're going down a path where that is the end, where that's the end of this path, is somehow you lose your faith, our goal is to bring that back to that moment in time where you decided to go left instead of right, and kind of reestablish that foundation.
So he's been reading my notes again. So I came to Western. There were five of them. And I had an unbelievable, I didn't get to go, I didn't know what Camp Tennessee was. Matter of fact, I'm so old, I'm not sure it even existed. But where I grew up, 75 miles east of here, I can only think of two churches in our county that weren't a Church of Christ. So 90% of our friends went to a church somewhere, and we visited with them regularly. So when we get to Western, there were five of us that were absolutely inseparable. And like you said, those moments around the campfire, we had them. We just had it in our backyard. When all five of them were baptized, we were there. Today, I look and I see, when we got to Western the first Sunday, we came on a Sunday afternoon, guess what we did Sunday night? We found a church, and we went, five of us. Today, there are only two that are still faithful, and that's me and my brother. The others are not even not faithful, they no longer believe in anything spiritual. They don't believe there's a God. They don't believe there was a Christ. They don't believe in the creation. And I want to make this really real for Matt, because Matt, one of my best friends, is a doctor. And I love playing golf, and I love playing golf with this guy. He's a jerk because he beats me, but I love playing golf with this guy. One entire summer, we decided we're gonna get up every Saturday morning we can when it's not raining, and we're gonna walk 9 holes, and we're gonna talk about God. And that was something I've never done. So we did, and by the way, he's not a member of the church, but he was a very faithful leader in another church. And about halfway through that summer, we're playing golf. We get to hole number 3. And he said, hey, I kind of want to tell you something. He said, you know, I don't believe in the creation. What? And he said, yeah, from everything I've been taught in my schooling to be a physician, it cannot happen, period. And I said, but you believe in God. And he's like, yeah, I believe there's a God. And yeah, I believe he's in control. I believe all that. And he said, creation? No, that happened. Didn't happen like that. So I played miserably for the next 5 holes. We finish. And we sat down to talk for just a minute before we go. And I said, and I won't call his name, but I said, have you ever thought about this? God asks us to have faith. There's going to come a point in your life when you've got to have faith. Even what you may think in your brain may not square with what you think you're reading. To me, that's where faith takes over. We have to have faith. We have to believe. We have to have that foundation. Do you know that guy doesn't even go to church now? And that makes me sad. It really does. So when I was asked, would you be interested in teaching this class? And by the way, you get to pick the topic. I had all of these things going on in my mind. And I'm going to tell you one more thing before we get to you guys. I used to mow a lot, right at 10 acres. It would take you between 5 6 hours to mow all that. Man, I'm dangerous when I get that much time to think. So I was teaching a class back here one time, and they always heard this. I was mowing yesterday and I had this thought. Okay, y'all are in luck. We sold that big old yard. It takes me 15 minutes now, so I don't have much time to think. Y'all are good. Okay, let's start. How about you guys?
What do you want us to say?
Tell us about it. What's your name? Who are you? Where are you from?
I'm Mary. I'm from Crestwood, Kentucky, Louisville area.
Yeah.
Moved here for school. Stayed here after school. I was baptized when I was 12.
12? Good deal.
Is that all the information?
I want to know major. I want to know, like, major too. And, like, if you're out of school, like, if you're working and where you're working.
Okay. I majored in English. And I graduated, and I started an English teaching job in the fall.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Where are you going to be teaching?
At FCA.
Perfect. You know, there's probably a guy or two who want to know, are you married? Do you have kids? You know, all those kind of things.
Did you want me to answer that? Well, yeah. Not married.
Look.
You don't have kids.
If I was one of the single guys over here, but there's a girl talking, I want to know.
Hopefully those two questions line up.
Yeah.
The married and kids question.
Are you an Alabama fan?
Yeah.
Are you married? Do you have a job? Those are three questions.
Are you a Christian? Are you an Alabama fan? No, I'm kidding. Good job.
You got it. Y'all live in Kentucky. We talk about Kentucky basketball now.
No.
So, next.
Okay. I'm Mackenzie. I'm from Auburn, Kentucky, so just like 15 minutes away from here. Been around here my whole life. Big Kentucky basketball fan. I graduated with my marketing degree in December. Still looking for a job. Love going to concerts and love music and stuff like that. And I was baptized at 9, so pretty young, but I was born and raised in it. My granddad was a big preacher, and yep. I just felt like it was my time. So.
Okay, cool. I'll tell y'all what I know about Mackenzie. I'm not this old, but I went to school with her dad. He taught me how to play racquetball. And her dad is one of the quietest guys now you would ever know. By the way, I just thought about this. We bowled, your dad and I bowled in a league together at Western.
Mm-hmm.
And he was good.
Yeah.
But
he
puts
me to shame whenever I shot the ball.
He's so quiet. Her dad doesn't say anything. But when we were in college, we all knew Mike was crazy. And we had so much fun with him. So I moved away for a few years, got married and came back here, and all of a sudden, they're telling me this is Mike Belcher. And I'm like, no, that's not Mike. It doesn't look like Mike. It doesn't act like Mike. He's sure not crazy like Mike. And then one Sunday, our families went out to eat. It was Mike. It was Mike.
Yeah, he'll talk like your head off outside of like here, you know, but it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of the same way. Like, I talk when people talk to me, but otherwise I'm pretty quiet in the shop, so.
Is it okay if I tell a Mackenzie story?
Yeah,
okay,
guess.
So when Mackenzie was 12, or 13, 12.
Yeah, 12 or 13, probably.
Okay. Our daughter Reagan asked if she could take a friend with her to Gatlinburg. We were going to Gatlinburg for the weekend. Well, yeah. She said, oh, Mackenzie's going with me. Cool. I didn't know this kid could talk. When we got back, I didn't know this kid couldn't talk. Stop talking. Her Reagan talked nonstop. They were so much fun. And we went to Dollywood, may have been the highlight of our trip. They were cool. Ma'am, how about we start with you?
My name's Justine, and I'm from Bowling Green. I'm majoring in hospitality management and dietetics. I was baptized even younger at 7 by Mark.
Pape?
Yeah.
I knew there was a Mark Pape connection.
Swiss Grove. So I've been at Weston for a little over 10 years.
And Justine, you didn't know this, but Mark Pape was a personal friend of mine when he was up there. He told me about baptizing you.
Yeah.
Now, you think that doesn't mean something to me, a Christian? I've heard before I ever met her. Reuben.
Well, I'm originally from Bowling Green, but I live in Nashville. I'm studying medical laboratory science at Vanderbilt, and I was baptized at 12.
You're not an Alabama fan, are you?
No.
Cool.
In the springtime, Reuben likes getting phone calls about me.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, two or three things about Reuben. Is it okay if I tell you?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I was here when Reuben was baptized. Caleb. Okay, I cried. Why? Because I mean, just like some of the rest of you here, it meant the world to me that a young generation is growing up in the faith. But I'm going to tell you a story about Reuben. I met Reuben when Reuben was 7 on the football field. He was playing football, and I was coaching 7-year-olds. Coaching 7-year-olds in football is kind of like herding cats with a switch, you know? And Reuben there was just something different about this kid. He was so polite. When he handed the football off and stood jamming it in the guy, he would hand it off. He was polite. When the coaches gave him a drill, he thanked us for it. He was super polite. There was something different about this kid. And the coaches and I talked about this. This is the nicest kid. And then one day, my family and I decided we wanted to visit West End. And we're sitting in the back, and I'm looking down front, I'm like, that's that nice kid from football. What's he doing here? That was the coolest feeling to know. And you know, I used this in a Wednesday evening talk one time and embarrassed him to death because I put a picture up there. You know, you all think you don't have influence. Every one of you do. That kid at 7 years old had an influence on me. I hope I had just as good an influence on him. And I can tell you one of the things that I know he didn't hear from me was anything foul out of my mouth. And some of our coaches, man, they didn't respect that. But I said not one word bad all the entire time, even though I might have been fussing at him for not running his pattern right. No, there was something different. He had influence. And I'm going to talk about somebody else that I know has influence too.
I'm Madeline. Hi, I'm from Dalton, Ohio. It's like an hour south of Cleveland. I am working at Bilstein Cold Rolled Steel as a process engineer, and I graduated in 2020 with my mechanical engineering degree. I'm a Bucks, Cavs, Browns fan. So,
no Alabama.
Yes. I'm in Alabama.
How old were you when you?
16.
Okay. I'm seeing a trend here, Gabe. That's what I was kind of hoping. Welcome to the warm, sunny South.
Right.
Actually, I traveled through there 2 winters ago. It was cold. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb. I'm Kayla Lindham. I went to FC, came back, going to Sky in the fall. I'm going to be a business major. I was baptized at 11.
I couldn't remember with you. I knew I was around, but I couldn't exactly remember. So welcome back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir.
My name is Cameron Embry. I was baptized April 24th, 2013, which would make me 11 when I was baptized.
I was ready.
I went to FC, and then I plan on going back this next year for organizational communication.
What I'm seeing a theme here. I'm not smart enough to be teaching this class. Used to go out and eat with this guy a lot, even when he was this little. He's good. I would be sitting there and I'd order something. He would order something. I want that. But yes, his family, my family, been close for a long, long time. He doesn't know this, but just like some of the rest of you that I've talked about this history, from a very young age, each of you has been some kind of positive influence on me. I'm thrilled to be teaching a class that you guys are in. We'll get to talk to the deal with it.
I guess.
I'm Sarah Grace. I am majoring in professional writing and lettering and marketing. I got baptized at 15. I grew up with the Thomases. We were the only kids my age at church, so just me and Micah together, our age group. And a young couple at church held a monthly Bible study, and they invited us to invite friends 1 month, and Corey brought Lawson, and he's never left since. So. And
that's
today's
awesome.
Actually our 1-year anniversary.
Y'all got married on the 4th of July? You're the second couple I know that did that. And the other couple got married on the 4th so the guy could remember the date.
Bro, that's so smart.
That is genius. So now we know who the smartest cat in here is. Lost. Very good, yes.
But as you said, I'm Lawson. I just graduated from Western, business administration degree, and I'm just working and married.
Fantastic. Lawson, how old were you?
Pretty sure I was 13.
13. Okay, I'm going to tell you about Lawson. Y'all, you're going to hear stories from most of everybody. I'm going to tell you about Lawson. I didn't know this guy. And I prided myself on being the guy standing at the door to greet anyone new as they came in, shake their hand, welcome them. At one time, we had right at 100 college kids at this congregation, and I knew everyone's name and where they're from. That was my thing. Okay, so things happen, whatever. But when you guys showed up, this guy walks up to me and introduces himself. And I thought that was the coolest thing. So very impressed with that. He introduced himself to me. I didn't even get a chance to. And I got to admit, I walked away and said, what did he say his name was? Because it caught me off guard. And I love that.
My name is Jackson. I'm originally from Colorado. Just graduated from FC with a music education degree. I'm hoping to go on and do my master's in clinical psychology in the next year or so. I was 13 when I was baptized.
No analyzing. Don't be analyzing.
Too late. No.
I know, right? Yeah, I know I've got a screw loose. That's what happens when you grow up with twin brothers. Colorado, what part of Colorado?
Aurora.
I know where Aurora is. How about that? Well, welcome. Good deal.
My name is Ian Zaleski. I'm also from Dalton, Ohio, so I'm Mellon's older brother.
Yeah.
I lived there up until college, went to Western Kentucky University, graduated in 2017, went back home, worked around for a little while up there, then came back here for a job also at Bill Stein Cold Rolled Steel. I'm also a process engineer, but I'm in a different department and I'm more also technically a maintenance planner, so that's kind of more my job right now. And I graduated with a mechanical engineering degree, and then I got baptized at the age of 20.
20. You guys, mechanical engineers, wow. Y'all will hear this before the class is over with, so I might as well tell you this right now. Nate and I love golf. You'll probably hear 10 dozen golf stories from us. One of the guys we play with is an engineer. Is he mechanical, John?
I don't know.
He's one of our deacons here, John.
I wasn't the most popular schools. I'm joking.
But we love to play golf, and John Whitaker, who's one of our new deacons.
He's a civil.
Civil, okay.
So that's below you guys, right?
Absolutely.
Just to make sure. Yeah. Like several layers.
By the way, he says y'all are the nerds, the mechanicals are the nerds. But John, when he's playing golf, you just have to know the engineer in his brain takes over. And at every part of his swing, he's calculating angles and he's all this stuff going on in his head. And finally one day he's playing really, really, really bad. And I walked up to him and said, quit thinking. You're engineers, you just got to do it. Just quit thinking. He's played good golf ever since, I think.
Yeah. Or the time you just said, hey man, calculate this birdie.
I'm Evan Hawkins Smith. I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri. Moved to Florida when I was 15, then moved here in 2019. And I'm going to FC right now. I'm going back for my second year, and then eventually I want to do physical therapy. And I got baptized when I was 12.
12, all right. In case y'all couldn't figure this out, he wears it. Even, was it your mask you had that had Kansas City on?
Yeah.
Which is okay, but I'm kind of a Titans guy now. If they're going to be in our backyard, we got to be for the Titans. I offered to buy him a Titans mask. He refused.
Why would I be the team with the weakest division in the AFC?
Okay, you're being personal. No, I do like Kansas City, but I like having fun out of him over because he wears his colors.
I'm Miranda. I'm from Cleveland, Evanston, like 40 minutes away. And I'm majoring in social work. I'm working at the library on campus right now.
Fantastic. And you're related to?
Caitlin.
Yeah. How old were you when you were baptized?
I had 10 or 11.
10 or 11. Yeah, we'll be conservative. We'll go on the 11 side here.
What'd you say your major was?
Social work.
Social.
So, now we got a lot of variety in this stuff.
We do.
Good deal. Ma'am?
I'm Madison. I graduated with a nursing degree. I was baptized when I was 9. I'm from Eastern Kentucky, so Richmond.
Yeah.
But I lived in Florida 7th to graduating college, and then I came back to BG.
Fantastic. So you've graduated,
mm-hmm.
and you may have said this. Your work, are you already?
I take my NCLEX here soon. So.
Well, congratulate everybody. Brain power toward it. Gonna need it. That one's a tough one.
And I'm a huge UK basketball fan.
Take that, Alan. Yeah. That's two thumbs up. Sir.
I'm Jake Arn. I'm from Stanford, Kentucky. I don't know if you know where that's from. It's a little small town, a little south of Lexington. I went to Florida College for 2 years, and then came back to Western to get my civil engineering degree. And I'm also a twin.
No.
Yes.
Twin.
Yeah. So what's your brother's name?
Levi. Jake and Levi. Yeah.
Jake and Levi.
And I was baptized when I was 15.
Okay. So, did you live right in Stanford?
Yes.
Because I used to live in Stanford, Kentucky.
Did you?
Yes. When I got out, it was before you were born. When I got out of college, I couldn't find a job in this area. And I went for an interview, and they said, yes, you're hired, but you got to go to Stanford, Kentucky. I'm like, where is Stanford, Kentucky? I've never heard of it. Lincoln County. And I loved it. It was the coolest place, seriously. Now, when we worshiped there, And I wasn't married at the time, but so we got in, I was kind of your guys' age, and we got into the groups, and there were lots of kids from the Stanford congregation, and I went to the Lexington Avenue Church there at Dayville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I likely know of your, some of your in-laws, outlaws, and others.
What was your name, bro?
Jake Arn.
Jake?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, where's Levi?
Levi is back home. Right
he's
now,
back
Stanford,
home.
Yeah.
Good deal. Sir?
I'm Ethan Bailey. I'm visiting today. I went to FC and graduated in 2020.
Yeah.
As a COVID grad. Went home, didn't know what I wanted to do. I did pre-med as my undergrad and also did a minor in business. And so the whole idea of going to med school and studying all that time for the MCAT kind of scares me. And so commitment's not my greatest thing in life. So the idea of 4 to 6 more years of school and all that money in debt has kind of, I don't want to say steered me away, but this fall I'm going to go get my MBA from UF. I'm not a Gators fan, I'm a Tennessee fan, and so that hurts me to go to UF and get my master's.
We're good.
And so I'm just visiting Jake. Jake and I actually lived together my freshman year at FC, and so I'm visiting him. And I just want to say I think it's cool you guys are studying this because, like, during COVID, when I had that year off, a lot of these questions I think are that you guys are going to cover are questions that I had and questions I've had for a long time. And so that was, COVID was kind of a good time for me because I got time to read and to look into stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot more people should do that because
absolutely.
Questioning, and he in his prayer said that we don't want to question our faith, but I don't even know if that's necessary because it has a negative connotation. But honestly, questioning stuff is how you build yourself stronger, knowing
absolutely.
Something inside and out. So
yeah, that's a great point.
I'm glad you guys are doing this.
So were you guys at FC with Reagan?
Yes. What's your
Reagan Hammer?
Oh yeah. Okay. I didn't even know that.
Because I've heard Reagan say something about Ethan before.
Yeah.
I just wonder if
that we've been the same. That's probably me. We're the same college group at university for a long time.
Yeah.
So
I've heard your name,
okay.
And you are awesome to be a Tennessee fan, because when I was a kid, during black and white TV, because we didn't have color, no such thing as a computer, we only got 3 TV stations. One of those 3 TV stations carried UK basketball. Great, I'm a UK basketball fan. The other one carried Tennessee football. So I became a Tennessee football fan, you Alabama looking things. But I did. So I'm the weirdest guy you ever know. I'm a Kentucky basketball fan, but I'm a huge Tennessee football fan. And my dream has been to go to a game at Rupp Arena. I've done that. I still want to go to Neyland Stadium and see a football game.
You may want to wait a while because it's pretty bad.
Right? I know, right? It's Miami. Hopefully it won't be against Alabama. All right. What's my point to all this?
And why? Ask his age.